Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, December 5th. Good morning and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and our studio producer, Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America on this Monday morning. Today is the sixth day of the novena of the Immaculate Conception, in which we meditate on Mary as the co-redemptrix. She's not equal to Jesus, but she is the woman who cooperates with God's plan and her son, role in that plan. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories that are making headlines this hour here on this Monday morning?
Well, John, the Supreme Court going to work today, going to hear a case out of Colorado from a web designer who wants to decline to create wedding websites for same-sex couples, saying that goes against her religious beliefs. State officials in Colorado say their Anti-Discrimination Act covers that and goes for all businesses. So the court will hear oral arguments today with a decision expected by the end of the term in June of 2023.
And this is a big case that a lot of people are keeping an eye on because it has a lot of ramifications when it comes to free speech.
Yeah, exactly, John, exactly. And we thought this might have been figured out a few years back, actually, with another Colorado case involving wedding decoration cakes.
But the battles continue. Meanwhile, a different battle is going on down in the state of Georgia, just a day left before the runoff election tomorrow with Raphael Warnock going up against Herschel Walker. What is the latest with that?
The U.S. Senate, of course, very closely divided there. 50 seats currently for the Democrats, 49 for the Republicans. So they will have that edge no matter what happens with that tie-breaking vote by Vice President Harris. But committee assignments and chairs and the like can be decided or split based on a split Senate. Warnock seems to have a slight lead in the polls, but advance voting happening in great numbers. 350,000 folks besting a one-day record on Friday, as a matter of fact. So the election day is tomorrow down in Georgia. Closely watched, very expensive race there too, John.
And a lot of interest because not only was it a record day on Friday, but altogether it's being reported that it's all coming up on 1.9 million votes already cast before election day tomorrow.
Yep, that's right. So hopefully results will be known at some point tomorrow as well. Just like the old days, we used to find out the same day when elections happened quite often. But hey, in voting for the favorite Christmas movie of all time, often It's a Wonderful Life comes out on top. And we've got a story out of Providence, Rhode Island that has a similar plot twist, John.
That is an amazing story because It's a Wonderful Life is such a beloved movie. I know in our family, it's a must-see movie watching every Christmas season, one of the all-time great movies. And it's got a fantastic spiritual lesson as well.
Well, and we don't know if it all turns out exactly the way the movie did, but kind of a real-life plot twist out of Providence, Rhode Island over the weekend. Local residents getting the credit for saving a woman who was heard screaming for help in the Providence River. Officials got a call about 10 p.m. last night about a woman who jumped from the Providence Bridge and was seen clinging to a tugboat. People walking in the area heard the woman's screams, told employees at a nearby towing company to call 911. She was rescued, taken to a hospital in unknown condition. Not clear what led to the incident, but her guardian angel might well have been keeping an eye out there.
Well, I hope that she responded better than George did in the movie.
Well, who are you then?
I told you I'm your guardian angel. I know everything about you.
Well, you look about like the kind of an angel I'd get.
Yeah, not as grateful as he probably should have been at that point, but it's early on in the movie. He's got a lot of growing to do, so...
Love that movie. I especially love the ending of the movie. The way that it ends is so heartwarming, and definitely encourage every family, if you get a chance, to watch It's a Wonderful Life during this Christmas season, during this Advent.
And the most heartwarming part of that ending, in that final scene with all of George's friends coming together to support him, There's accordion music. There's an accordion feature there, and it's just beautiful.
I can
just
see why
beautiful.
It might be your favorite clip.
And you can't forget that every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Well, I was at a play yesterday, and there was a little kid in the lobby along with me and my little girl out in the lobby, and she was ringing a lot of bells, so a lot of angels must have been getting some wings that day, I gotta say.
Yeah, it's not great theology, but it's a lot of fun.
That's for sure.
All right, as always, thanks so much, Glenn and Sarah.
Sure thing, John.
We start every hour here on the show, always in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of relevant radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Matthew 7:21. Jesus the Lord says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that it's not good enough to say, "Lord, Lord," we must do God's will, not just give him lip service to enter the kingdom of heaven. During this Advent, we prepare for Christmas. Let's make sure that there's no lip service in our hearts, that we prepare from the heart for Christmas. Let's totally give our lives to Jesus and be his witness and have a joyful, holy Christmas season. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. You can also always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. And if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. Now, we're going to continue our series this hour on the sacraments with our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters. Last week, we looked at the sacrament of the anointing of the sick and the church fathers. Today, we'll be taking a look at what the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches about the sacrament of holy matrimony. Joining us live is our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, the pastor of St. Isaac Jogues Parish in Hinsdale, Illinois, the Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain known as the baseball priest, and of course, a longtime Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Burke. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's great to be with you.
Good morning, John. Great to be with you, too.
Father, how was your Catholic Athletes for Christ baseball retreat?
It was amazing. So we gather in California and Oceanside with some of the future, present, and past Major League ball players and people from Hollywood, and have a great time of retreat, fraternity. One of the highlights this year was meeting Jim Wahlberg was there, of the Wahlberg brothers, and he shared his testimony, and he's written a book. I can't wait to read the book called The Big Hustle, how he found himself in prison as a teenager and young man two different times, and it was an encounter with Mother Teresa that absolutely changed his life. And now he, you know, happily married with a family, and he goes around speaking about his Catholic faith. And he, along with some others, produced the movie No Greater Love about Mother Teresa that we watched. That was so powerful. So I don't know if our listeners have seen the movie, but if you get a chance, definitely watch that, No Greater Love about Mother Teresa.
Well, Father Burke, Catholic Athletes for Christ is doing tremendous work in bringing ball players together to be able to share their Catholic faith and to be able to hear great testimonies like what you just described.
It is, yeah. And I heard my great friend Mike Sweeney was on Friday with Glenn. Sorry, he missed you that day, but as you know, Mike Sweeney is one of the most inspirational people you can be around. I remember when I first met Mike, been 9 years ago now, I thought nobody can be this joyful all the time. I thought it was, he was putting on a show, you know.
He's the real deal.
9 years later.
Yeah.
He is. 9 years later, he's that way all the time. And it's because of his faith in Jesus Christ that he is so full of joy.
Out of all the athletes that I've met over the years, I can't think of anybody else that is more passionate about his love of the Catholic faith, our Lord Jesus, our Blessed Mother, than Mike Sweeney.
Amen. I agree. And that's to say that there's some other great great ball players, you know, like Trevor Williams and Craig Stammen and Daryl Miller and Jeff Supan, men like that who are mentoring these younger players and say, you can play baseball and you can be a very faithful, joy-filled Catholic. And that kind of fraternity and mentorship is so important in the world of sports because they become role models, whether they like it or not. And if we can help them be role models for the Lord, then they can really influence many, many people.
Well, one area that we need more role models in is when it comes to marriage. Marriage in this day and age, the sacrament of matrimony, as we call it in the Catholic faith, is under attack more than ever. Let's begin talking about why it's so important to be aware of the true meaning of this sacrament.
It is under attack because marriage is the foundation of society. Strong societies have strong marriages and family. And so it's not a surprise that marriage is under attack of the evil one. The first paragraph in the Catechism on marriage kind of sets the stage. It says, the matrimonial covenant is by its nature ordered toward the good of the spouses and the procreation and education of offspring. This covenant between baptized persons has been raised by Christ the Lord to the dignity of a sacrament. So it's important to talk about the word covenant. This is more than a contract. So when you sign a contract, I'm going to buy this refrigerator. I'll pay you $1,000. You'll give me a refrigerator. A covenant is an exchange of persons. You know, it's two people who are willing to lay down their lives for one another. So it's ordered toward the good of the spouses. So, you know, St. Thomas says love is willing the good of the other person. And so what's the ultimate good of anyone? It's salvation. It's heaven. And so this is where we get the teaching that one of the goals of marriage is to help your spouse get to heaven. When I share that to couples preparing for marriage, they usually look at me feeling like, well, I've never heard that before. You know, and Jesus says there's no marriage in heaven. Marriage is for earth to help for procreation and to help your spouse and help your children get to heaven. I don't think that means that in heaven you won't know your spouse, because I think everything that is good, all that is love, will be united around Christ in heaven. But so for us to really think about in our marriages, do I look at marriage and my marriage as, am I helping my spouse get to heaven? And if God blesses us with children, are we teaching our children about Jesus, or are we teaching our children about salvation? Because that is their ultimate good as well.
And Father Burke, the Catechism, and we're working from paragraph 1601 and beyond. It talks about Matthew 19 as the biblical basis for marriage, based on the book of Genesis, the words of our Lord Jesus Himself.
Yeah, Matthew 19 verses 4-6. Jesus says this. Have you not read from the beginning, the Creator made them male and female? So this is where our teaching of marriage is between one man and one woman. And then he said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is what we believe, this kind of establishment of the sacrament, that this union of a man and a woman, vowing their love for one another, creating that covenant, becomes sacramental. The two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. And those are the words that we hear in the sacrament of holy matrimony. And what's interesting about marriage is the minister of the sacrament in the Western Church is not the priest or the deacon or the bishop that witness it, but it is the couple. And so when two people stand before a minister of the church and vow their love for one another, they become the ministers of that sacrament. And that's when we always say consent makes the marriage. And so it's at that moment that the sacrament of holy matrimony is conferred by the couple and for the couple.
And Father Burke, Catholic bishops of the U.S. Put it in writing a beautiful letter, marriage, love, and life in the divine plan. There's some powerful language in that document.
It is. So the U.S. bishops say this: marriage is a lifelong partnership. So it's important to realize this. This is not a temporary thing. And I know, in my family included, most families, unfortunately, have been touched by divorce, which can be very painful. But this is nothing to take lightly, that what Jesus says, what man is joined together, what God has joined together, man must not separate. So it's a lifelong partnership of the whole life, of mutual and exclusive fidelity. So faithfulness to that person and to that person alone, because in order to establish this trust that is needed in marriage, you need to know that your spouse is faithful to you and vice versa. It's established by mutual consent. That's the consent makes the marriage between a man and a woman, and ordered towards the good of the spouses and the procreation of offspring. So the purpose of marriage is to help one another get to heaven and for the procreation of offspring, so that we can create along with God. So couples are co-creators with God in marriage of children. And to realize that as a married couple, these children are not yours. They're not your property, if you will. They're gifts from God, and we're called to be stewards. And the greatest thing that we can do with these children is to help them get to heaven. And going back to one of my favorite things to do when I go to California for these retreats is to spend a day or two with Mike Sweeney and his family, father of six, and every night he's praying with his children, with his wife and children, and he knows that his role is to help Shara, his beautiful wife, and his six children get to heaven. What a great example of what the sacrament's all about.
What a fantastic witness for someone who has experienced celebrity and been a major league all-star to be really living his faith the way that Mike Sweeney does. It's so moving. Father, can you talk about the call of every vocation, including marriage, is really a call to love when you look at all the different ways that we can answer a vocation?
Yeah, the other day at Mass, I was talking about marriage as a vocation, and somebody afterwards said, I have never heard that. It gives such dignity to my call as a married woman. I said, absolutely. My call to the priesthood, your call to marriage, the call to religious life, the call to consecrated single life is exactly that. It's a vocation means it's a call from God. And so if I think about, if I feel this call to love, and every vocation is a call to love, a call to lay down your life for someone else, a call to help other people get to heaven. So my spouse as a priest is the church, and my role is to help my children get to heaven. If I were married, my spouse is my wife, and my call is to help her and our children get to heaven. And so to think about, how am I called to love? Whenever I was working with young men, thinking about the priesthood, I would ask them, how do you feel called to love? And for me, I can tell you, I always felt like I was called to love everybody. And now I realize what that means. It's my call is to love the church. Those who are called to marriage usually feel like I'm called to love this particular person, and God willing, it'll spring forward with children, and then I help my family get to heaven. So I love that God calls us all to a vocation, and that call is somehow to love and help others get to heaven.
Father Burke, can you talk a little bit about how men and women are created for one another?
Yeah, even going back to Genesis, we hear that, when God creates Eve, he takes the rib from Adam, and he says, this is flesh of my flesh and that Eve becomes his helpmate and his equal. So the marriage is not about domination. It's about a mutual love, a mutual laying down for one another. And that's why it says, you know, therefore a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh. It's such a beautiful thing. You know, when I see a great holy marriage where two people, you know, I always joke, they start to look alike, they start to talk alike, they finish one another's sentences, they walk alike, and that's that sense of the two becoming one flesh. In the same way in our relationship with God, the more time we spend with the Lord in prayer, the more we start to talk like him, the more people start to recognize the Lord in us. So when we spend time with another person, we start to take on their characteristics, and it happens in marriage, it happens in our relationship with the Lord.
We talked about how marriage is under attack, but sometimes that attack is from within, in the ways in which people sometimes sin. Can you talk about the effects of sin on a marriage?
Yeah, sin separates us from God, and it separates us from one another. And I've come to realize even more so now as a priest how difficult marriage can be when two people, we're all sinners, we have our brokenness, we have our family background, and to live with one another in a lifelong marriage of mutual and exclusive fidelity is challenging. And so that's where humility is required. That's where dying to oneself. You know, if I stay selfish, I love the line from Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not seek its own interests. And so we have to die to ourselves in order to live for others, in order to make marriage possible. Because if we, in our sinfulness, we're often very selfish and self-absorbed. And marriage is a call to get rid of, to let go of our self-absorption and to live and to die for another. And that's what Jesus showed us. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend. And marriage is that image. You know, in Ephesians 5, it's this image of Christ, this mutual laying down your life for one another. And so when you see a beautiful marriage, it reminds you of what Christ did for the church.
In the final moments that we have, your thoughts on marriage in the Old Testament and how our Lord elevated marriage in the New Testament.
Yeah, so we hear in the Old Testament, that marriage existed, of course, and they went to Moses, and they really wanted Moses to permit divorce. So from the very beginning, divorce was not allowed. And they begged Moses, and what did he say? This isn't God's plan, but out of the hardness of your heart, you know, I'm going to allow it. This isn't part of God's plan. And so when Jesus comes along, he says, you've heard what Moses, you know, said. And so he affirms that, you know, this is a call that what God has joined, man cannot separate. And so maybe next week we can talk about, well, what is, you know, what is divorce? What is annulment? How does the church view this in the world today? But to really hold up the ideal of marriage as a covenant, as a sacrament, and as something that is meant to last a lifetime here on earth.
Well, it's a great reminder to talk about marriage here as we continue your series on the sacraments. I know the one thing I remember from our marriage prep, my wife and I, is that my job is to get her to heaven and her job is to get me to heaven, something that we alluded to here this morning.
Amen. So I would encourage couples, when you wake up in the morning, ask yourself, how today can I help my spouse get to heaven? How can I lay down my life for him or her in order to help both of us grow in holiness and move toward salvation?
Sounds great. We will continue our discussion on the sacrament of matrimony next week, Father Burke. And I appreciate you being with us as always. Thanks so much for your spiritual perspective.
Always an honor to be with you, John and Sarah and Glenn, and have a blessed day, everyone.
Thanks so much. Father Burkmaster is the baseball priest and longtime Morning Air contributor. We need to take a short break. When we come back, career coach Bruce Lochenour will be with us to discuss turning work into a Christmas present for our Lord. So stay with us as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Oh, Christmas presents around the world, something mighty sweet. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday here in the second week of Advent. Once again, it's time to continue our series on how to land your dream job with career coach Bruce Lochenour, who will be taking your calls at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can always send your questions for Bruce to bruce@relevantradio.com. Now, today we're going to discuss how we can turn work into a Christmas present for our Lord. Bruce Lochenour has a bachelor's degree in economics from Northwestern University and an MBA from Harvard. He has spent the last 25-plus years working with public and private company board of directors, CEOs, and top executives on their career and talent needs. Good morning, Bruce. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It is great to be with you. Happy Advent.
John, good morning. Happy Advent. Always a pleasure.
Well, Bruce, here we are right in the season of Advent here on this Monday in the second week of Advent. What can we do on the work front to prepare ourselves for Christmas, which is only, can you believe it, 20 days away?
Oh, Jai, get me anxious here. My wife is one of the best gift givers on the planet, and it puts a lot of pressure on me to try and keep up. But speaking of presents and giving gifts to our Lord, you know, we've talked all about how to find, discern, and land that dream job, and had a lot of fun with that. But once you're in it, and in the season of Advent, I thought it might be good to take a few minutes to focus on how we can sanctify our ordinary work, how we can turn those 40 hours plus a week that we spend in the office, at our home office, doing our work, wherever it might be, into something supernatural. So that's the focus of our conversation today.
And we're talking about sanctifying our ordinary work, and that is something that has been part of the church's teaching, especially since Vatican II, that universal call to holiness, something that we need to be aware of all year round, but especially here as we get ready for Christmas.
Yeah, so taking your work and turning it into prayer, that's the offering we're going to bring to the baby Jesus, is the theme for what we're doing. And it, you know, there have always been saints throughout time, John, countless, that were lay people. These weren't the priests, they weren't the bishops, and there were a ton of those. But I think of one of my daughters is named Honoré, after Saint Honoratus, who was the patron saint of baking. I have a friend whose daughter has just gotten into the RCIA program, and she was looking for a saint for her preparation, and she's a musician. So, of course, St. Cecilia came to mind, and my wife is a lawyer. She's got a big devotion to St. Thomas More. You know, three lay people that were saints, that were declared holy by the church. So you're right. Going back in time, there have been countless, you know, saints that weren't wearing a collar or weren't in a convent. So, you know, it ties back to the universal call to holiness, which you just mentioned. And it's been there, you know, it's been there since the days of St. Paul writing to the Thessalonians, but it's really been popularized more recently. So I think there are three really good sources I want to go to here on this. One is St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, and then a modern-day saint, St. Jose Maria Escrivá, and then, as you mentioned, it's now part of the doctrines of the church in Vatican II. Because if you go to St. Paul, he's running around the world of that time, and would keep up with folks by sending letters, and he wrote a letter to the Thessalonians, and he said, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." He wasn't just writing to the elders and the priests, you know, but he was writing to the whole church, all the people. So God's will is for us to be saints, to sanctify what we do. We're all called to be saints. So, you know, it goes way, way back, but it seems that, you know, in the days of our youth, John, we're a little bit on the senior side here in society, it seemed that it was only, you know, the priests and the nuns that appeared to have that call to really strive to be saints.
Well, being saints is something that's for all of us, and this is that universal call to holiness. And like you said, it goes all the way back to St. Paul. I have another favorite scripture that St. Paul wrote in Colossians 3:17, where he writes, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." If you notice, he says, whatever you do, it doesn't matter whether you're a career coach, a baseball player, a housewife, a businessman, it makes no difference what you do. If you do it for the Lord, you can sanctify your work. You're doing it for the right reason. And that verse has really made a difference in my life. In fact, I actually have it scribbled down on a little sticky note next to my computer at home as a never-ending reminder that whatever we do, we can do it for Christ.
That's beautiful. And, you know, John, there's the tendency, I mean, I think it's not unusual for people to be going to Mass and praying and making resolutions, but kind of leaving their faith at the church door and then going on and living life and doing work. And we get busy with everything we have to do, pay the bills, feed the kids, you know, and then you dive into work. And what happened to that call to take everything to God? It's not part of our culture to carry that through, but that's the challenge. And you know, you and I both know of a modern saint who I think preached this and made it very practical. That is the sanctification of ordinary work. At Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, John Paul II calls him the saint of the ordinary, and JP2. Had his hand on the pulse of society and us and our hearts and our souls and our desires. And he talked about how society just draws us away from God. But St. Jose Maria reminded us that everything, God's creation, the fruits of human industry, if used rightly for the glory of the Creator and in service to one's brothers and sisters, can be a way for us to meet Christ. Wow. You know, that's powerful. And how was that? Well, it's, again, he's called the saint of the ordinary because he framed this universal call to holiness in the context of your normal daily duties and tasks. And just as you said, John, doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're a janitor, you can tackle this next office or whatever with love. And we'll talk about that. So all the way from that janitor up to the CEO of the company, our challenge is to transform that ordinary work into prayer, into service of others, and for us become a path to holiness.
One of the things that I love about St. Jose Maria Escrivá is that he left us a game plan, a spiritual game plan of how we can actually put this idea of sanctifying our work into practice. And I mean, just basic suggestions like, you know, getting up at a fixed time every morning as early as possible, offering your day to God through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, working with intensity throughout the day, doing it for the Lord and knowing who we're working for. You can be a workaholic and work like crazy, but if you're not doing it for God, you know, if you're not doing it with the Lord in mind, you're missing the boat.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And again, that's our culture, right? We work to live. We don't live to work. But what we need to do is we need to live to sanctify ourselves, to make ourselves holy, to make ourselves canonizable saints, John. That I don't think that either you or I are going to be canonized by the church, but you never know. We need to be in a position where at the end of our days. That people can look back at what we did, and our Lord can look at us and say, "You know, you really strove to be canonizable, to be to that level of holiness." And so, St. Jose Maria, you're right, very practical in the ways in which we can strive to sanctify ourselves. And I like to think of it in two buckets, if you will. The first one is the acts of piety throughout the day. What does that mean? Daily touch points with our Lord. How can we pepper our day, spice our day with interactions with our Lord? And then secondly, how do we take that work itself and transform it? So let's take a second and talk about those first points, because you touched on them. You're getting up at a specific hour, making a morning offering, which is just offering the day and everything that happens, the trials and the joys to our Lord and or for an intention. Prayer. John, we've talked about praying to discern your professional vocation, but prayer is our chance to interact with our Lord. And I always say, Lord, that I may see, and Lord, that I may hear. You know, it's not just listing all the litany of things that we need, but rather, you know, putting your challenges out there and listening, and you'd be surprised at how the Lord will guide you as you do that. And I always strive to try and get into a church and kneel before the tabernacle in a quiet place where I can hear what God's trying to tell me. Daily Mass. So all these things, let me back up for 1 second. It's called a plan of life. You kind of come up with a plan. Okay, here's how I'm going to try and interact with our Lord throughout the day, through my working day. So here are the things I'm going to try and do. Now, I'm going to go through a bunch of them, but it's good to start with a couple and then either add some or try and do them better, because it's a slippery slope. The more we strive to add these to our day, the deeper our faith and holiness. So we mentioned a morning offering, prayer, daily Mass is something you can try. You can try going one day a week and maybe even and build on that. The Holy Rosary, we got that with Father Rocky at 7 o'clock Central Time. And that's just wonderful. You're praying with 100,000 people out there for just tremendous intentions and hearing about miracles that are done. Aspirations. John, an aspiration is a little saying like, Lord, that I may see, or whatever it is that strikes you that helps just, again, spice the day with little interactions with our Lord and with a supernatural dimension. Reading the daily gospel, just reading a passage from the gospel. I used to do this with the kids, and we would talk about it. Reading a spiritual book, John. I mean, we get bombarded by so much stuff that's maybe not good for us, that it's super important to build, to help us build ourselves with good spiritual reading so that we've got something to chew on and help us grow. An examination of conscience, a way to get better. Frequent confession. Confession is not something you do once a year. The more you do it, the better you tune, the better you get. And I know we are always confessing our same sins, but it's critical. And then thinking about an annual retreat, John, to get away. So those are acts of piety. You know, so you pick a few, start building, and continue building. That's one bucket and a critical bucket.
These are all great suggestions. And here in this Advent season, I know Father Rocky has reminded our listeners so many times that if you do nothing else here during Advent, go to confession if you want to have a blessed Christmas.
You know, it's a game changer. You feel bad. You just feel so good when you come out of the confession. I always feel like I'm walking on air. No doubt. It's a great suggestion. And that's, you know, that also helps your prayer life and everything else. That is a cornerstone. Whenever I've got a friend who's striving to deepen his or her faith, that's always the place to start.
We're talking about how we can turn our work into a Christmas present to our Lord Jesus Christ here during this Advent season. We're going to take a short break. If you want to be part of the conversation with career coach Bruce Lackenauer, we're taking your calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you want to share with us how you sanctify your work, if you want to be a part of our discussion. So we're going to take a short time out as we continue with Bruce. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks for tuning in on this Monday morning as we continue our conversation with career coach Bruce Lackenauer. We're talking about turning work into a Christmas present for the Lord. We've been talking about the universal call to holiness. Bruce, can you give us some practical advice, some suggestions on the 40 hours a week that we spend working? What can we do to grow in holiness?
You bet, John. You bet. And a couple things. One, you know, saints are not perfect human beings. There is no such thing. Saints are those who, when they fall, and we all fall, they brush themselves off and they get back up and get back into the game. You mentioned going to confession. That's a good way to do it. So that's what we're striving to do, is to keep moving up that slippery slope, to keep moving forward. And we talked about the acts of piety you can do throughout the day. The one that is a good starter point, maybe that I didn't mention, is at noon, I set an alarm on my calendar, and I say a Marian prayer, the Angelus, this time of year, and also do a quick exam so that I take a look at how my day, the first part of my day, has gone, and make a resolution for how to get the second part of the day going. So with those, you know, with an act of piety or two or three or several in place, and again, trying to grow on them, how do we tackle the 40 hours of work? How do we sanctify that work and turn it into prayer? Well, for those of us who work at a desk, we can turn, St. Joseph Maria talks about turning that desk into an altar. You know, I bet you're into the World Cup, being a sports aficionado. My wife had a prayer group with ladies, and one of the gentlemen came over and joined me up in my office and we watched the U.S. On my screen that I use for work. And he said, "Oh, wow, I like what you've got. You got a prayer card. You got a prayer card of St. Jose Maria. You got a crucifix. I've got an image of Our Lady up on the wall, which is the background for my Zoom calls." He said, "That's a great idea." I said, do you have a pocket crucifix?" No, so I have a few extra. So I gave him one. But so you need to think about transforming your desk or your office, and both my home office and my office at downtown have got what I described, an image of Our Lady. I've got a crucifix to remind me that I'm trying to work hard and offer this up for someone as a sacrifice. And, you know, just a little reminder so that as I strive to turn each hour of work into prayer and an offering, I have little things little reminders to help me do that. So, John, we got to pour ourselves into our work, as we talked about. So a suggestion is to take to break it up into hours, and to start an hour with a little prayer and an intention. So, John, I'm going to offer this hour up for my father-in-law, who is leaving the hospital today. And Lord, you know, please help him get physically better and continue to be supernaturally better. And then I say a Hail Mary, and I go to my calendar, John, and I put a little reminder on there. So an hour from now, so let's say we start this hour now at 9 o'clock Central, I'll have a reminder my father-in-law's initials, just to remind me when that hour is up. Oh, I get a little reminder, and it's time to go ahead and come up with another intention. So I'll say another prayer at Thanksgiving and for preparing the next hour. And then, you know, John, it's hard to get every hour of the day, but whatever tool you have, that's just a suggestion. I go into Outlook and I set up a little calendar reminder. You can just put an alarm on your phone for an hour, and sometimes I miss it, and sometimes a couple hours will go by. Well, as a saint, you know, striving to be a saint, I'll just dust myself off and get back into it. And by work, you'd be surprised. So you can, by working hard, and just taking a few moments at the beginning and end of each hour, you've transformed that hour into prayer and an opportunity to earn grace for yourself and for that intention.
It's a beautiful thing. We can give our work to our Lord as a gift, is something that we can do, practically speaking, here during Advent season. And we can also offer it up for a special intention that may be on our heart. A final thought here, as we're just about out of time.
Yeah, John, it's a great opportunity. If you haven't thought about this before, think about doing it, because it's so much of our lives are spent in work. If you can transform that into prayer and helping get grace for others, you're on your way to that universal call to sanctity.
Whatever you do, if you do it for the Lord, you're on the right track. Bruce, as always, I really appreciate your insights. Thanks so much for being with us here this morning.
John, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
our career coach, Bruce Lackenauer. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
On CBS, 57 years ago this week.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
What a wonderful story, Corner. Glenn, this really is a great reminder of what Christmas is really all about. During this Advent season, let's remember Christ, the reason for the season, by praying the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As Father Rocky reminds us, the family that prays together stays together. And that'll do it for this Monday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producers Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you Tuesday on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.